Like I've talked about often over the early juncture of this season, you know, we'll still be very much a team in development like all teams are, and we just simply acknowledge it. But we better find ways to win along the way.
To Old Pro Smokehouse, we are on the road with the first Steelers Nation Unite Road Warriors block party. These guys are pumped up, ready to go for the Week 3 game tomorrow against the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, this is an incredible scene here. You know, Chicago's a great sports town. They have a lot of their own great sports teams, but to see this kind of turnout for the Pittsburgh Steelers is extremely impressive.
They are definitely ready to go. So let's get them ready by taking a look at the Steelers status report for tomorrow. Kickoff is at 1 o'clock. There are four guys. Two are out and two are questionable. You see them here. The big ones, of course, the guys who are not playing, Marcus Gilbert and TJ Watt.
Yeah, I mean, both of them are significant players. Marcus Gilbert had not really allowed a pressure through the first two games of this regular season. He continues to be, in my mind, one of the most underrated offensive linemen in the NFL. You know, losing him, you know, Chris Hubbard is a nice, capable fill-in, you know, but let's be honest, losing Marcus Gilbert is not insignificant. And TJ Watt, you know, I got to be honest, I never really expected this kind of production and contributions from him this early in his rookie season. You know, we've seen, you know, a lot of instances where, you know, the Steelers' first-round draft picks, there's a lot of high hopes for them going into training camp, into the preseason. But, I mean, TJ Watt is a guy who has delivered on that at every phase of this. You know, a couple of sacks in the opener. I mean, this is a guy who, I don't know, I won't say he's better than his brother yet, but I would imagine at Thanksgiving when they get together, they could have a pretty interesting conversation about it.
Or even Christmas Day in Houston.
Well, yeah, in Houston, right.
All right, and Stephon Tuitt is questionable. He said today was going to be the day for him and Coach Tomlin to figure out if he would be able to go. I imagine he'd probably be a game-time decision 90 minutes before kick when the inactives go out.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, Stephon Tuitt returned to practice this week. They were easing him back in. You know, he seemed to be, to me, a lot more excited about how he felt Wednesday, which was the first day, you know, back on the field than he was Friday, the last day back. But I don't know that that necessarily is an indicator of his availability for Sunday. You know, we haven't had a chance to talk to him, but I would imagine how Stephon Tuitt felt when he woke up today. I'm sure he had meetings with Mike Tomlin and John Norwich, maybe even Dr. Bradley, about how he felt. Mm-hmm. And I really think how Stephon Tuitt felt this morning is really going to dictate if and how much he plays tomorrow.
All right, there are four guys on that status report for the Steelers. There's three on the status report for the Chicago Bears. When you look at this list, Labs, what stands out to you?
Well, I mean, the Chicago Bears are on their third team middle linebacker. Nick Kwiatkowski is out. He was the second team guy. So just to kind of put this into perspective that Steelers fans might understand, it would be as if, you know, Ryan Shazier was out and then Tyler Matakevich was out and then whoever you have third. So that's where the Bears are there. Josh Sitton, starting right guard. The Bears were having some issues with their offensive line, as Tunchi Okun had explained to us in some previous episodes of Steelers Live. He is doubtful. So, you know, I would assume that even if he does play, he's going to be physically hampered. The Bears have had some issues with their offensive line. So, once again, you know, that's not an optimum situation for them.
All right, one thing the Steelers don't have to worry about tomorrow is who their starting quarterback is going to be. Chicago might have a quarterback controversy, if you want to call it that. But their head coach, John Fox, said Mike Glennon will be starting for them once again. We've already gone over this fun fact. The last team he beat in the NFL, unfortunately, was the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was with a different team at the time. But let's take a listen to Coach Tomlin on Glennon.
He has physical traits that you can't coach. He's statuesque. It allows for great field vision. He can make any throw on the field. He's a great anticipator. You see it when you watch his tape. Those anticipation throwers are often difficult to get after. They can get the ball out of their hands in the midst of pressure. He's very good at drifting away from pressure and utilizing those skills.
You know, a lot of times, Missy, for example, against New England, you know that there's absolutely no possibility of a quarterback change unless the starter is injured. This, however, is not that kind of situation. There is the possibility that John Fox, the Bears head coach, you know, might make a quarterback change. And, you know, the Steelers have prepared for that. You know, Mitch Trubisky is a guy who had played a lot in the preseason, so the Steelers have studied video on him. In the event that he would go into the game, it would not come as a total shock, and there would have been some preparation, especially among the coaches, about what he might be able to do for the Bears offense.
All right, Steelers president Art Rooney II joined us earlier this evening, and he brought up the bad fun fact. The Steelers are 1-12 here in Chicago, but you remember the one and only win. Yeah. Take us through it.
Yeah, you know, 1-12, the Steelers started playing the Bears in 1934, the Steelers inaugural season in the NFL was 1933. The only win came in 1995, and it really was kind of a springboard for that team that went on to win the AFC Championship. And the Steelers were 3-4 at their bye. They came out of the bye, beat the Jacksonville Jaguars at home, and then came here to play the Bears. The game was went into overtime. And at that point, really, coming to Chicago, the 1995 team, in my mind anyway, was divided a little bit, offense and defense. But that was a real coming together of both units. I remember one of the significant moments, and it was something that was visually evident. Greg Lloyd, the leader of the defense at that time, since Rod Woodson was out with a torn ACL, hugging Neil O'Donnell, the quarterback, on the sideline at the conclusion of that game. And then from there, I think the Steelers won 7 or 8 in a row, and then rode that momentum right to Super Bowl 30 in Arizona.
All right, well, we are going to take a quick break, but our next guest, Hall of Famer Dermani Dawson, may know a thing or two about that 1995 win here in Chicago. We will return here on Steelers Live from Chicago in just a bit.
Everything we got today and every day.
Ben Roethlisberger running onto the field holding up a flag that has the Dan M. Rooney insignia in the shamrock, and it's just a great moment as they honor the late chairman of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's back, he's going to set up a screen, and it's broken up. Reaching up is TJ Watt to bat that out of the air. Over the middle, the pass is Bullman. Running with the football, Martavis Bryant. He outruns everybody to the end zone.
And what would you have said to Terrence as you're running by?
Hello, Newman.
As soon as the ball stepped, Cam Hayward is in the backfield.
And the charge spearheaded by Cameron Hayward, who's having some kind of afternoon.
Cam Hayward has not been blocked yet.
Little shovel pass down to the goal line, and in comes Juju Smith. Schuster, and that is his first touchdown reception of his Steelers career. Here's a big rush. He's hit it. Sacked back inside his 35-yard line. Bud Dupree, welcome back, Bud. They're going to throw the pass, and the pass will be broken up, ball over on down. Tyler Matakevich was there.
This could be one of those backbreakers for the Minnesota Vikings.
Come on, what are we doing?
Ooh. He knocked him out.
That's what you call delivering a dose of deceleration trauma. Is this a free play? He throws it long down the left sideline. Martavis pulls it in at the 15-yard line with a diving catch. Wow! Vince Williams with his first of the season. Shallow cross. Here comes Antonio Luce. Gets by a man. He's at the 45, the 50, and runs out of bounds in Viking territory at the 45-yard line.
Once again, it wasn't as pretty as we were hoping, as we were expecting, but the Steelers did what they needed to do to win.
Well, I don't know if it'll ever get to our expectations, right? If we expect perfect and expect put the bar really high, you know, we should set goals that are almost unattainable so that you can just be the best you can be. So we're not worried about guys that miss time and whatever. We're winning football games. We're getting better. We're making improvements. And so, yeah, we're winning football games.
Welcome back to Chicago, everyone. A very special Steelers Live, the first Steelers Nation Unite Road Warriors block party. I am honored now to be joined by Hall of Famer Dermonti Dawson. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, I can't really hear right now. I can't hear the mic.
That's because the fans are so loud.
That's right. That's right. But, hey, it's a pleasure to be here, guys, in Chicago.
Let's hear it for Dermonti. All right, Dermonti, we just had a chance to hear from quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. What do you like or want to see improved in terms of the Steelers' offense as they head into Week 3 tomorrow against the Bears?
Well, you know, it's still early in the season, so those guys are still kind of getting acclimated to the play calling, and also with, you know, with an offense. I mean, it just takes a while to kind of congeal with the whole offensive team, and I'd like to see those guys protect Ben a little bit more because I think Ben gets hit. And it's early in the season, so we need Ben to last throughout the course of the whole season. But I would like to see their pass blocking shore up just a little bit more. And also get Bale, you know.
You knew where running. I was going.
Yeah,
I was going to say
his
workload increased from week one to week two, but Coach Tomlin said he wants those splash plays, those big 25, 30-yard runs. How does that go about happening?
Well, it's all about timing and repetition. And him missing, you know, training camp, that kind of hurt him and set him back a little bit. So I think with the repetition and him kind of getting acclimated to the speed of the game in practice, I think he's going to improve each and every week.
It's a little bit of old news now, but it's still exciting. You are one of the inaugural members for the Steelers Hall of Honor. How did you find out, and what do you think of that honor?
You know, I was sent an official letter by the Steelers, and then that morning, Lynn Mullineaux gave me a call to congratulate me. And, you know, it's a big honor. I think the first inaugural class is 27 guys.
Right.
And then I think after it's going to be about 4 to 5 guys per year. But it's a huge honor, and I'm looking forward to coming back Alumni Weekend in November against Green Bay to celebrate it.
Speaking of the Hall of Fame, do you maybe want to make a case for Alan Faneca, someone who was a finalist last year and who I know you guys probably want to see inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Yeah, you know, Alan sure deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And I told Alan, I knew Alan was going to be good when he came in as a rookie because we did not miss a step with Alan as a rookie starter. And he is very deserving. I mean, he's a phenomenal player, and he'll be there sooner or later. It just takes time, but he will be there sooner or later.
What was it like when you got that knock on the door from David Baker to say, it's your time, let's do this?
Very, very surprised and very honored. And it humbled me. And, you know, and it's still kind of surreal because, I mean, really you don't think that you really deserve that great of an honor. But when you talk to other Hall of Famers that you really respect and they validate that you should be there, and it just validates your whole career. And it's just a great honor and just very humble to be part of such a great fraternity.
I don't know how much you could hear the first segment when Bob Labriola was up here with me, but we were talking about 1995 here in Chicago, the only time the Steelers, they're 1-12 here. What do you remember from that win that went into overtime? And as Labs was telling us, kind of jump-started your run to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, I don't remember a whole lot about that game. It was just kind of like a blur. But, you know, we've been in those AFC Championship games before, and then all of a sudden, you know, the Hail Mary passed, and of course, he almost caught it in the end zone, but luckily, I can't remember who hit the ball or he just dropped it, but man, that was the heartless pounding at the time. But it's always nice to make it to the Super Bowl, even though we didn't win and Dallas, they beat us, but it was great just to have that experience.
All right, Damani, thank you very much for your time. Everybody, let's give Damani Dotson one more round of applause, please. All right, we are going to take another quick break. Up next, joining me here on Steelers Live, Super Bowl 43 MVP, Santonio Holmes. Don't go anywhere.
Rock Steelers Style is back in 2017. Join us at Stage AE on October the 20th for football, family, and fun, all for a good cause. Visit Steelers.com/Steelers Style to purchase tickets today.
And with the shotgun, Steelers trailing by three. Second and goal at the four. He's back. He punts. The pass is in. Tom Brown, touchdown!
Better, we're making improvements and we're winning football games.
Chicago. I am Missy Matthews here now with, as you can tell, Super Bowl 43 MVP Santonio Holmes. Welcome. What about this love from the fans tonight?
Oh man, this travels all over the world. You can't get it any other place than Steelers Nation.
All right, I want to pick your brain and ask a lot about the Steelers offense, specifically the wide receivers. But since they're chanting MVP, take me back to Super Bowl 43. What happened in that huddle and the play?
Oh, man, Super Bowl 43 is, it will be a memory that will live on forever. And not only through my eyes, but the whole entire Steelers Nation who watched that play happen. And,
looks good on the big board, huh?
Without that guy, number seven, leading the charge, man, and giving me a second opportunity.
Santonio, we also can't forget what James Harrison did in that game. What do you remember about that play? Did you even get a chance to watch?
Do I forget what James Harrison did?
But no, were you able to take it? Like, did you appreciate it at the time, or were you maybe on the side? What were you doing?
At that moment, it made a big impact in the game. It gave us an opportunity to have hope going into halftime. Like, look, we got a big lead on these guys that we can, keep sticking it to them and keep playing well. Without that defense, doing what they did, that made us our Super Bowl champions.
Were you running down the sideline with him?
No, I was actually sitting on the sideline.
Yeah?
I was just watching the big screen, like, is he really going to score? Oh, watch out, there's Fitzgerald. Oh, he didn't get him. Touchdown. We got it.
All right, switching gears back to the current Steelers now. Of course, everybody wants to talk about Antonio Brown. Xavier Rhodes was able to do a pretty good job. We got a chance to see AB with the mic on and just the talking going back and forth. And he told him, hey, I'm Tony Toe Tap, just so you know. But how much have you seen AB's game grown, and what kind of player is he now?
I mean, he's electrifying. He's explosive. He's an all-around guy. Put the ball in his hands and watch AB work. That's something that he's been talking about since he first came into the league. And he's proven it year in, year out, 1,000 yards, every season. And he can only go up from here, and he's waiting on his opportunity to give us that stairway to heaven.
rookie Juju Smith-Schuster. His first catch was his first NFL touchdown, but he also had a nice block, and that's what everybody in the locker room was talking about. What does that do for a young guy that's what guys are talking about?
The Steelers wide receivers are built around being complete wide receivers. You can't just come here and expect to just get the ball and to just show out and be the best in the world. You have to display everything from blocking to having great character with the rest of your teammates and even with your quarterback and being able to withstand any type of humility, you know, for this organization.
All right, earlier this week I had a chance to talk to Martavis Bryant. Here's part of that interview.
It was against Cincinnati in the playoffs.
January 9th, 2016. Does that feel like forever ago?
Yeah, it does. That was crazy. It came a long way from then.
How so?
Just by my decision making, me being more mature and handling my business now, you know. And just, you know, over time you grow. So I'm much more mature than I used to be.
And that change in Martavis is so noticeable, not only just to his teammates, but to us who are around him a lot. What have you seen from him after he missed an entire season of football?
I got a chance to talk with him after the first game. He and I had dinner that night.
Nice.
So,
what'd you tell him?
I just got a chance to share with him that he's the guy. Everybody's been looking for him to be more consistent, be more aware of his surroundings, and be more of a complete player. And to not worry about anything, any outside distractions, is to show up for this team each and every Sunday and practice as hard as you can.
Have you noticed, I know you weren't around him maybe at the very beginning, but does he seem more mature and like he's focused on football and ready to go?
He still has a lot to grow. You know, he's coming off of a four-year suspension and he's learning, you know, each and every day and how to correct those mistakes and not even get himself involved in anything that will alter his plans on being, you know, one of the best Steelers receivers at this organization.
And just your overall thoughts on this offense. There's so many weapons. We've already talked about Bell, A.B., Martavis. Where do you see them as the sky the limit for this group?
My overall thoughts for the organization and our offense is to just keep everyone healthy. If the Steelers can stay healthy, we're going to put together a great season, a complete season for the fans to enjoy. And hopefully, you know, Mr. Rooney is waiting for us up there.
All right, Santonio, we like that. All right, let's hear it one more time for Santonio Holmes, Super Bowl 43 MVP. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be back from the old Crow Smokehouse in Chicago.
He wants to throw it. Throws it for the end zone. Antonio Brown! And the Steelers have gone ahead. A 23-yard strike, and it was a bullet. Ben goes shotgun. Twins left first and 20 at the 27 of the Vikings. Over the middle, the pass is pulled in. Running with the football, Martavis Bryant. He outruns everybody to the end zone. Beats him to the left pylon. Right to left, 27-yard. Pitch and catch for Ben and Martavis.
So, Billy, think about this. He runs a quick slant. He's playing against 39-year-old Terrence Newman. And what would you have said to Terrence as you're running by?
Hello, Newman.
Hello, Newman. Yeah, and think about that. That is a mismatch. That's one of the things the Vikings like to play, man coverage.
We Week 14 of the 2005 season was already circled as a marquee matchup between the Steelers and the Chicago Bears. But what transpired on the field can only be described as legendary. Amidst the Pittsburgh snow, Jerome Bettis took center stage in the wintry conditions, amassing 101 yards on 17 carries. But it was the second of his two touchdowns that would go on to define the bus and etch an unforgettable moment into the minds of Steelers Nation.
The give to the right, and the bus waits. The bus drives, and the bus gets to the goal line. Touchdown, Pittsburgh! Jerome Bettis! The Bears were trying to tackle him, but they just could not. If you would say, show me what the bus is all about, I'd play that play for you.
Welcome back, everyone, to a very special edition of Steelers Live from Chicago. You are looking at our friends who are part of Rayos de Acero, a group of 50 fans from Monterrey, Mexico, who came here tonight, Labs, to be with us in Chicago. We also have fans from Australia, just about anywhere and everywhere, to get ready for the matchup tomorrow. But when you think of Steelers and Bears, you have to think of Jerome Bettis and Brian Urlacher, right?
Yeah, and, you know, that game that we just saw that led us into this particular segment, I remember that specifically. You know, the Steelers had lost, I believe, three in a row, maybe it was four. And in my mind, as a, you know, as an observer, the Steelers had really kind of lost their way offensively a little bit. The team had gotten away from some of the smash mouth power offense that really was, you know, the strength of the team back then. And even in the first half of that Bears game, you know, it was kind of hanging in the balance. But then, I guess God is a Steelers fan, because it started to snow late in the first half through halftime. And then once the second half started, the weather conditions were such that anybody would have known, just give the ball to Jerome. And he finished with 101 yards. He had pretty much all of those in the second half. That second touchdown running over Brian Urlacher really, to me, set a tone for that team moving forward. The Steelers won their last four regular season games and then, you know, went on to win Super Bowl 40 in Detroit.
All right, as we had mentioned, the Steelers are 1-12 in Chicago. They are 2-0 heading into this game. The Bears are winless. They're 0-2. Coach Tomlin always says you can throw the records out of the window. He doesn't care about them. Let's take a listen to what he said about the state of the Steelers and what he told them leading into this matchup.
We're getting prepared. We're getting prepared with an edge. We know we're playing a team that's going to be hungry. We know we're going into a hostile environment. And quite frankly, we're too fragile. We're too new in this team development process in terms of searching for consistency and acceptable level of play to take any other approach.
And he went on to say he has been 0-2 before. Actually, the Steelers have been 0-4 before, Laz. I don't know, going back to 2013, that loss in London, going into a bye week, it was not pretty. But what do you make of what the Bears' mindset is going into this game, especially with John Fox, someone you know as their head coach?
Well, you know, where the Bears are really right now, to me, is it's fight or flight for them. You know, they're 0-2. They have a situation where there is division of opinion on whether they should stick with Mike Glennon, the veteran free agent quarterback they signed in the offseason, or do they, you know, turn the page and point to the future with Mitchell Trubisky, the second overall pick in the draft. And, you know, there's also some, you know, talk about John Fox's security and his job. So, you know, a lot of times when a team is at this kind of crossroads, they either quit on the coach and he gets fired, or, you know, they bow their backs and, you know, put forth a supreme effort. We're going to find out what the Bears have tomorrow at Soldier Field. But, you know, if I'm the Steelers, I'm going in there believing that I'm going to get the Bears' best effort tomorrow.
All right, that is going to do it for this special edition of Steelers Live. Thank you to everyone here at Old Crow Smokehouse, the Steelers Nationite, to our great fans. Give yourself a round of applause. We've had a ton of fun here tonight. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Steelers versus Bears tomorrow at Soldier Field.